Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and thank you so much for being with us. We've got a lot of stuff that we're going to try to unpack today and get to it, and it's keeping the ball up in the air, that's for sure, as far as golf goes, because while this normally is an off season, there's still a lot of chatter going on, and we're going to talk very soon about what's going on at the LIV Tour. Frank was just at an event in Miami, and we'll get into that very shortly. We also have Whit Watson join us, former host at Golf Channel, and has been in golf for a long, long time. We'll talk with Whit here in just a little bit and get his opinion about what's happening, not only with the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, and again, golf in general, because it's being talked about. And every time you seem to watch SportsCenter or go to a website about sports in general, there's golf in there. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but we're going to talk about that. As far as there's a lot of negative things that are coming, a lot of negative energy about golf, but they're talking golf. And as I guess the old adage goes, as long as you're being talked about, then it's all good, right? Publicity is all good. So a lot of stuff to get into. Again, thanks so much for being with us. Frank Bassett joining us as always from the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank? I know you've got a little bit of a sinus issues going on. Are you feeling okay?
I'm okay. Every time I get on a plane, every time I, do that, it seems like I come back with the sniffles or something, but that's just, travel these days. I got to tell you, said at the top, you said we have a lot to unpack. Oh, I haven't completed unpacking yet, have you? because no, totally. I took a lot of, how I travel, you've seen it. And took a lot of stuff to Miami with me, and just got back. It's incredible right now. You made the comment, Tim, a lot of negative energy around golf right now. And where's the negative energy coming from? And that's what I want to get to at some point in the show is who's spewing the negative energy? Yeah. And that's I won't say any more than that.
And but why are they?
Why and who is spewing it? What's going on here?
Well, latest, and we'll get into it as well down the road, but Dean Beaman, former commissioner, who's now, three or four removed from commissioner, but certainly during a pivotal part of the PGA Tour was commissioner for a long, long time. He had some comments on LIV Tour and what he thinks. And you kind of think he's going to carry the company line, which would be the PGA Tour line, and he does. So there's some negative energy coming from that venue as well. So it's just, I don't know, are you a believer that, as people would say, whether it's Jerry Jones and the Cowboys or anything else, that all publicity is good publicity?
No.
Whether or not it's
I'm not.
Bad stuff going on, it keeps your name out there?
No, I believe it turns people off. I believe he who spews forth the vile, the venom, the
rhetoric,
it turns people off. I don't want to listen to it. Because at the end of the day, there was an AFL, I believe, in football at one time, was there not?
Sure. Yeah.
NFL. Yeah. And I think we have a Super Bowl because of that, right? Yeah.
And they hated each other.
Right? Yeah. And they absolutely
spoke very badly for several years about the other side. And that was the old Oakland Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Oilers. Those are the old AFL teams, the bastards of NFL, if you will,
exactly.
Versus the old Giants, Packers, Bears standards. So and now
the gimme
those happy family.
I call them the gimme three and a cloud of dust boys, and then the AFL. Yeah. Came along and they were like, pass the ball, do
winging
some fun
it,
stuff,
it
wing it, have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
What similarities do we have here? And we can certainly get into that with Whit in our when our guest segment comes up. But it is incredible. And I was firsthand, they wanted me to see it. I talked to Greg, talked to a lot of people. And we'll get into that too later. But I will tell you, Miami was fun.
Yeah, well,
it was
bottom line
fun. So.
Fun.
Yeah.
By the way, the PGA Tour is at Mayakoba for the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba. That's a long name. It's one of those events
they tend to do that.
this time of year gets a marginal field, if you will. But Victor Hovland is there. He's a two-time defending champ, so why would he not go back trying to make it three in a row for Victor Hovland? So they are in action. Miami was the final for the LIV Tour, so they're done for now, and we'll start back up again after the first of the year. And I want people to know, too, where I was last week while you were in Miami, we weren't that far away. I was in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So we're just a little bit of an ocean away from each other. We could have swum.
Swam?
Swum.
Swum. EIU.
SIU.
Oh, you went to Southern Illinois. That's right.
Southern. Quit making that mistake with Eastern.
Sorry. It's like Southern Mississippi and Ole Miss.
Such a better school.
Much better school
than Eastern. Anyway, so we swam.
We swam
back and forth.
Wow.
And I was there for the White Sands.
Did you go swimming while you were there too?
And I did go swimming. And it was a 2-week event. Actually, the women were playing 1 week at the White Sands, and this was all at Atlantis in the Bahamas. And then the week I was there was the men's collegiate tournament, and a lot of great teams that were there. Duke ended up winning for the men.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I got to play in a pro-am with a collegiate am, they call it. There's no pros. The collegiate am with a kid from VCU, Virginia Commonwealth. Really, really good English player who's come over to play golf in this country. And some other guys. We had a blast. And if anybody's ever looking for a place to go play golf or just hang out on vacation, then be sure to check out Bahamas because, again, we stayed in Atlantis, never left the property. There's several different hotels, and it's a huge property.
Is that one you see in the ads, Tim, with the gorgeous,
the big pink kind of hotel? It's got the big water slide.
Oh, my Lord.
That's one of the hotels. There's others, the Cove and the Reef and the Royal. So there's several different hotels. Not all part of that one. That's kind of the big mama in the middle. But and we were so lucky. The weather was great, and I got to snorkel a little bit, which was really cool.
Did you see any barracuda?
I didn't see any barracuda. Didn't see any sharks. But at Atlantis, if you know, our room looked right out. I may have sent you a picture already or a video. Our room looked right out in the ocean, but out also on the property, and right below us is the big, huge natural water ocean that they made there, Atlantis, if you will, and they've got sharks and manta rays and stingrays that swim around, big sea turtles that are all over this whole menagerie of water that they have in this part of this water park that you walk by. You can get down on ground level. I saw it from my room. It's just spectacular. I mean, just cool. Every morning I come out and I look down on my balcony and watch the sharks just swimming around.
Well,
it's just
I was in Miami, I saw a shark every day.
Oh, there you go.
Standing on the first tee.
And in the clubhouse. You didn't know sharks could stand, but they could.
This one stood tall, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So
So we both had a great time last week.
We did. It was a very good time to get away from both Nashville and Dallas to go to Miami and go to Bahamas. And, again, I couldn't be – I happen to know the general manager at the Ocean Club, which is a golf course there at Atlantis. And Robbie Lemmings is his name, and I've known Robbie through Long Drive. So several years back, Robbie worked with Long Drive, as I did. And anyway, he's there and been there now in paradise, as he says, for 11 years. And so anyway, I couldn't recommend it more. It just had a wonderful time. People are so nice and friendly and just loved every minute. And hopefully next year or some other time, I'll be able to get back there.
Tell you all about what's this eye stuff, Coachies?
Yeah, me.
I want to go back. I want to go. No, I've not been there. I want to go. Yeah. That would be fun. Well, but I'm glad you had a good time. You did see my friends on the Ole Miss golf team, I'm sure.
They were there. I'm telling you, Frank, you watch these college golfers.
Oh, they're good.
And we all know that they want to be the next Victor Hovland, right? They all want to be the next Jordan or her, any of those guys. And most of those guys all play their college golf wherever they might be. And some of them, rare, but some of them come out and go to the PGA Tour and end up being very good professional golfers. But most of them, just like in football, basketball, any sport, most of them don't end up doing that for a living. And you sit there and go, every one of these guys from every school, I would be on the range with them. I don't care which school they were from. We're just striping every ball on the range.
Yeah.
Every club they take out, it was just, and you hear that sound, you know the different sound between a good golfer who's got club head speed and the rest of us. They're just amazing. They're just nicest kids in the world too, but just how much talent. That just tells you how difficult it is to make a living at golf, Frank. I mean, I know there's different levels in Korn Ferry and different tours and all that, but just even if you count 1,000 guys that are on some of these tours that are all playing, that's 1,000. I mean, there's tens of thousands of college golfers hoping to do that. They're just
very competitive. Given the fact that we have some additional golf tour opportunities out there, maybe there'll be more spots for them,
Maybe.
And that's part of growing the game.
All right.
So yeah, we'll get into okay. more of on my side of the house. But I'm glad you had a good time. I really would enjoy going there sometime. If you're listening to this show, people in the Bahamas, Uncle Frank would love to come play golf there at the Ocean Club. Thank you very much.
Send a boat. Yeah, you can get there.
Yeah. I didn't get on a plane to get another cold. I scared me to death. I got off the plane. I immediately came home and took a COVID test.
Yeah. And
it was negative, of course. Okay. Oh yeah, I'm fine. Just sniff.
So should you be wearing masks? I mean, if airplanes and airports and everything are your problem, should you be masking up, or are you already?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, you're so. Maybe. It doesn't matter. I don't think the masks do that much when you're jammed in like sardines. I won't name the airline, but you know, when you're jammed in like sardines.
I mean,
cattle car.
And in all honesty, you know, through the whole couple of years of COVID, which we're still in, but you know, the real intense part.
Yeah.
It seems like airlines were never a hotbed for people catching, right? We kept flying, and yes, there were a lot of masking and different rules and all that kind of stuff, and they didn't have service and didn't bring you cocktails and all the things they normally would do, but still, you were jammed in there, and it seemed like, wow, that's the worst place to be. You're condensed into a plane,
a tube,
there's no fresh air coming through, and all
tube.
This stuff, and yet, it wasn't like these reports are coming out that airports were so unsafe, so I don't know.
Well, more people travel now than ever. Ever before.
They got restricted so much, I think they're... And by the way, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. Here's a good one here for you, Frank. I'm going to a wedding, friend's daughter's wedding in Lake Tahoe.
Oh,
tomorrow,
good.
Which sounds great, except for if you look at the forecast for Lake Tahoe.
It's gonna be yuck.
It is, and people maybe not, if you haven't been there, you can ski in Lake Tahoe. I mean,
oh yeah, it's beautiful.
Area.
Absolutely.
So it's mountains and snow, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not, everybody kind of thinks of it as, this beautiful summertime place with a beautiful lake and the boats, and it's true. But in the wintertime, and this is starting in the wintertime, point being, the forecast has lows in the low 20s, flurries, as in right now. I fly into Reno, my wife and I, and then we have to drive to South Lake Tahoe, about an hour and a half away, to get to where we're going for this wedding. I've already gotten warnings, Frank, on my phone from American Airlines saying, weather warnings, be careful, you know, because it's supposed to
from
rain
American,
in Dallas tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And then when we land, if we get to Reno, there's forecast for the next 3 days of snow all from Reno down to South Lake Tahoe. I just hope we can get there. I mean, it's one of those, you kind of want to go, but at the same time, you're rolling your eyes going, we could also be stuck in an airport on an airplane for hours.
I'm happy to be home right now. I'm happy to be home just for a little bit. And by the way, as a sidebar, shout out to my buddy Blair Wheeler and his beautiful wife, whom I met in Miami. Blair does a lot of work for PXG, which, as we all know, we love PXG. I play PXG, and they're a sponsor. So so I got to spend some time with Blair and did some pictures. I'll send you some of that stuff. It was absolutely hilarious. And then after we talked to Whit, when we close this out, I want to tell you about a couple of other folks that we had the opportunity to meet in Miami.
Why don't we take a break?
Give you my sidebar on Liv, because it's different. I'll tell you that. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look. We got Whit Watson again, former Golf Channel anchor, joining us, and he'll have some hot opinions about what we're talking about. So we'll take a quick break, and Whit will come back and join us. So you're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return with Whit right after this.
Are you ready to improve your golf game once and for all? A PXG club fitting will bring you greater distance, accuracy, and consistency from tee to green. At your personal club fitting, you'll meet with a PXG fitting specialist to discuss your skill level and goals while introducing you to the PXG product line. Next, your fitter will analyze your performance data with TrackMan golf simulators as you hit your own clubs, if you have them with you, and you should, and a selection of PXG clubs. PXG fitting specialists are highly trained golf equipment and fitting experts who work exclusively for PXG. Watch your performance skyrocket as you are expertly fitted for the right club heads, loft, lie, shafts, and grips to increase your distance and accuracy while lowering your score. Nothing compares with a PXG club fitting to improve your performance and level up your fun. Schedule your PXG club fitting now at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Folks, do it today. You'll be glad you did.
The weather is changing, but you know what hasn't changed for a long time? Your underwear. If you're still rocking worn-out cotton undies, now's the time for a new pair of Tommy John's Apollo men's underwear. In Tommy John's underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Name a problem with other underwear, and Tommy John's has solved it. Tommy John's breathable, lightweight fabric has four times the stretch of competing brands. They come with a no-wedgie guarantee, thanks to a non-rolling waistband and legs that never ride up. Plus, they feature a horizontal, quick-draw fly. And Tommy John loungewear is guaranteed to fit perfectly with comfy, non-piling, micro-modal fabric, meaning no lint balls or fuzz. That's what that means, no lint balls or fuzz, folks. And a luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with flexible four-way stretch. Folks, I wear Tommy John's. The entire crew wears Tommy John's, and we all love them. We have one of everything, I believe, in their entire product line. So guess what else is out there for you? It's backed with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So here's what I want you to do. Go to TommyJohn.com/golftalk right now for 25% off lounge and sleepwear. That's 25% off lounge and sleepwear at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. That's TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See sites for details.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. And as we talked about before the break, a lot of stuff to get into about what's happening in the world of golf. And it used to be, not that long ago, Frank, we'd say, and what's going on in the PGA Tour? But there's a lot more to talk about than just the PGA Tour, although they're intertwined in all of this. And of course, I'm referring to the LIV Tour. And Frank, in the first segment, talked a little bit about being in Miami for the last event there. And at former President Donald Trump's property and the entire atmosphere and what was going on around there, which brings us to Whit Watson, our very special guest. He's a former anchor on the Golf Channel, golf journalist, also working with PGA Tour and PGA Tour Live, and he's with us now. Whit, thanks so much for being with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I was, as we're about to discuss, I was also down there in Miami. Yep. Got a firsthand look at the LIV series.
Yeah, Whit, good to talk to you. We had a chance to catch up and meet and catch up, and it was, to me, an incredible. And wait a minute, I have Bogey. What is your dog's name?
My dog's name is Monty.
Monty.
The door closed on him. Not named after Colin Montgomery.
No. I was going to ask.
So Monty wants to be part of the show.
I have Bogey in the other. Don't worry about it. Bogey has his opinion on every show we do. So no, we ran into each other right there at Doral, right in front of that gorgeous, gorgeous place, and right off the first tee. And it was, I believe, your first LIV golf event as well as mine.
So the deal was I saw this event on the schedule. I live in Orlando, as you mentioned, do work for Golf Channel and the PGA Tour. And it just occurred to me that in all of the criticism of LIV and in all of the staunch support of LIV, the vast majority of people who are talking about it have never seen it because they don't have that many events. And three of them last year were out of the U.S. So I thought, well, why don't I just go take a look at it? And I wrote a piece about this for my website, whitwatson.com, about getting a media credential and just kind of driving down there and framing it as, all right, I'm going to go into this blind. I'm going to pretend I've never heard anything about it. I'm not picking a side. I just want to see what the product looks like as entertainment. And that was kind of the setup for how I got down there.
I'll tell you, it was my first, as we said. And I was of the same mindset that, okay, I'm going to look at this thing and see exactly what it is, and let me either validate or refute everything everyone said about this thing. And I will tell you right now, from a media standpoint, walking into the media center, the greeting was, "We are so glad you're here. What can I do for you? How can I help you?" And I was like, well, wow, this is different. Mm-hmm. We are happy to have you here if there's anything you need. And I said, well, I'll grab some coffee real quick, and ran over to media dining. And it was laid out like a Sunday brunch at my country club.
Yes.
I mean, I was like, come on, what is this? I mean, no sack lunch, no sack breakfast. And I'm not hammering our friends at the PGA Tour at all, because every tournament has its own, you know, Honda Classic was always known, as we all know, as having the best food out on tour for media. But I was so impressed. First impressions are everything, as we all know. I was so impressed with the greeting. And our good friend Maureen from the PGA Tour had been there for, I guess, with the tour for 15-plus years in media, is now over media for LIV Golf. And, wow, it was just open, fun, how can I help you, what can I do? Communications came over to me, Whit, and said, I know that you'd like to talk to Eric Trump. We'll set that up for you. What time do you want to try to do it? I'm like, hello?
Yeah.
Hello, You know, what players would you like to talk to? And the player access. So I don't want to take over the whole show because you're our guest. But I just, my impression of everything that they did for us, and we haven't talked about the golf or the excitement yet, but everything the media supporters did for us, the media committee, was first class, 5-star.
Totally. And that brings up a really important point. I'm glad you said that, because all the focus has been on the public investment fund, $660 billion, and Greg Norman. But if you look at the infrastructure, they brought people in, to your point, that know what they're doing. The chief operating officer used to work for the Tampa Bay Bucks. They brought people in that were either outside of golf or had experience with the PGA Tour or another professional tour. And yes, the logistics for a startup, and that's essentially what it is, right, as a startup league, the logistics were flawless. And Doral is ideally suited for a golf tournament still. You know, it was vacated by the PGA Tour in 2016. But the fact of the matter is everything is self-contained. Players can stay on property and walk to the driving range. Media, same way. The announcers were on property. I visited with my friends Jerry Foltz and Keith Hirschland while I was there in Miami. You know, they're staying on property. The logistics of it come off as we've been doing this forever, which was impressive for a series that is only 8 events old. And yeah, my experience was very similar to yours.
And then let's go to the golf. And Tim, I will tell you, the golf was fabulous. I mean, it was every bit as good as anything I've ever seen in my many years out on tour. I mean, the golf was great.
Let me ask you guys this, both of you, for being there, and I have yet to be at a LIV golf event. One of the comments, and sometimes it's a criticism, is a lot of the differences between the tours and how they have their events and how they have their each round and each day. Start with the start of it, and you referenced this earlier, Whit, about it's a shotgun, and it's everybody goes out in their hole. We all know what a shotgun is. From a convenience standpoint, everybody doesn't wait for a tee time, and the first guys are at 7, the last guys are at 2 in the afternoon. It's an all-day thing. What did you guys think of that? Did it matter at all? It made it easier, I guess, more convenient, but did it matter to you? Did it seem cheaper or in any way critical that they had a shotgun start versus tee times?
I think once you walk in and you listen to the music playing and you look around and you realize what this is trying to be, the shotgun start wasn't that weird, because you have to kind of accept that, okay, this is not the PGA Tour. They're trying to do something different. They're actively trying to do something different. I get it. There's music playing, and it takes about 5 minutes before you forget that music is playing. Like I wrote about this too, kind of amazed at how quickly you just adapt to it. You kind of accept like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. All right, fine. There's music playing around the golf course. Great. There's a shotgun start. There's a DJ. There's a concert going on after that they stop play. So no, to answer the question, it wasn't that weird, because, you know, you guys, and you tell me, I mean, to me, it felt like, okay, this is what they're trying to do. I get it. So I'm just going to accept it and roll with it for the rest of the day.
But again, stepping back, Tim, to the quality of the golf that we saw, it was professional golf. It was incredibly competitive. And, you know, so what if they're in shorts? You know, that was the big beef. Oh, they're wearing shorts. Jesus, it's 90 degrees outside, people.
You're in Miami.
You know, why don't we just wear kimonos when we go to Memphis on the PGA Tour and play there in August when it's 95?
By the way, I walked right past Sergio Garcia and didn't recognize him. The shorts thing actually might have been the biggest shock of the whole day and a half I was there. You know, because you walk past these guys, if they're not wearing a hat and they're not wearing long pants – Right. Yeah. Sometimes you go, oh, that was Sergio. Oh, wait.
Well, you
I
know,
completely missed him.
I ran into Sergio and the Champions, outside of the Champions Bar there, which is the gorgeous oak bar that's right there off of the course. And the first day I was there. And I said, Sergio, hey, buddy. And he turned, he looked and said, Frank, how are you? And he had his wife with him. And I said, how are the babies? He said, oh, man, let me show you. And he hands me his phone with his baby pictures on it. We start looking through baby pictures together. Mm. Nothing like that's happened before because everything is so structured out there. And it's not loosey-goosey. It's very structured, yet it's very inviting, I would say. And right. Very friendly, and the players are more relaxed.
Would you compare, Frank, to the Champions Tour? We talked about that contradiction before with the Champions Tour and the guys that have gotten away from the limelight for a long time and are so embracing of anybody, media, of fans, and all that, yep. So different than the PGA Tour. Not unlike any sport. And once the guys get away from that and they're suddenly retired or down the road a little bit, they don't get all the attention, and they don't have all of the handlers taking care of every little step they make. It becomes a lot more friendly. Did you find it comparable to the senior, the Champions Tour?
I'll tell you what, I'll defer to Whit on that question.
Okay.
Yeah, I broadcast the Champions Tour for a number of years. I would say there's definitely the element of intimacy is similar between the Champions Tour and LIV in the sense that the crowd wasn't that huge. Although in Miami, they had some pretty big crowds.
Yeah.
One difference between Miami and the other events on LIV's schedule. To me, though, the Champions Tour still very much feels like a PGA Tour event. All of these guys are lifers on the PGA Tour and have very deep connections. LIV, I think, differs in the sense that, as I said before, it feels like a startup. And even though the players on the golf course are big names that, you know, made their careers on the PGA Tour, they made a conscious decision to leave. And it definitely feels like this is a different enterprise. This is something else entirely. We are a separate organization, whereas the Champions Tour kind of maintains a connection to Ponte Vedra. You know, you walk around to see Jim Furyk and Davis Love. Those guys are company men, right? And whereas a Mickelson, DeChambeau, Koepka are most decidedly not company men. That would be the difference. And again, the crowd at Miami, Frank, you can speak to this as well. I mean, I watched on Friday, and it was crowded. Like, it was hard to get around the golf course on Friday. And then I had to come back to Orlando, turned it on Sunday to watch the final round, and it was packed. I mean, there were a lot of people there.
It was packed, yeah. It was great. And you know, you mentioned with the concert after play every day. Mm. It's not like we've got DJ Smiley standing over there with, you know, playing some music. Chainsmokers are on, and they have a stage like you build when you have a concert. In Nissan Stadium here in Nashville. I mean, it's a Garth Brooks style event, buddy. It's set up and party. So,
and that's, again, like I said, I think one of their challenges is going to be finding the correct markets for that experience. If they could play Miami every week, they'd be great. If they could play Vegas every week, they'd be great. Where else are you going to go? You know, they're going to play. I assume they're going to continue playing in Saudi Arabia every year because of where the money comes from.
Sure.
I can't see that ever drawing a big crowd just because it's not really that country's style of event. You know, I mean, it might play better in Dubai, but I'm not sure what the politics are there, if they would put an event in Dubai or not. Well, you know, that's a big question for them going forward.
Well, you know, Whit, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but there's some markets out there that have had tour events, PGA Tour events, LPGA Tour events before in this country, and they're starving for something like this. They would embrace something like this. And I don't want to say the names. I don't want to get anybody stirred up here because there are going to be some changes out there. There's an event going on this week that's going to be changing on the PGA Tour, and it's out of this country. It's Mayakoba. That's a garden spot for what these people are doing at the LIV Golf Tour. So,
and I'm sure they're aware of that. You know, they haven't announced their schedule for next year. We still expect a couple of more player signings to happen, and there's been some rumors. I'm sure you've heard the same rumors that I have. And, you know, they're looking at starting up a schedule again in February. So, yeah, there's a lot still yet to come. This, as I wrote in the piece, was a beta test for LIV. The whole season was basically a placeholder, right? It was like, let's just see if we can make this work. Let's see how we can tweak the format. I talked to a few people. They said that the actual format of the tour of the team championship, the event in Miami, wasn't decided until like the day before. You know, they were tweaking and trying to figure out how to make this interesting. Seriously. I mean, they just said, they just told the players, just be there and we'll figure it out when we get there. And, you know, so this whole thing is got this, you know, it's us against the world mentality, and it's going to look very different in 2023.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Want to introduce Whit Watson and golf journalist, PGA Tour, Golf Channel, and been around for a long, long time covering golf. And go ahead, Frank. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew who we were talking with.
Well, no, I was just going to say that it was a beta test, and they were throwing things up against the wall to see what would stick. I think a lot of it's going to stick. Now, the team concept is really different to a lot of people who really haven't followed, you know, President's Cup, Ryder Cup, and that sort of thing. But this team concept enables the LIV Golf Tour to have sell franchises. I want to own the Aces. I want to own the Majestics. I want to own the Punch.
It's part of the plan.
It's part of their plan. And I think it's golden. I think it's beautiful. It's ingenious that you can have that. So going forward, you know, I have an idea for them. I'm going to throw this out. I think UPS is kind of open for a sponsorship of something. You think? Can you imagine UPS against FedEx going forward, guys?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, it took me half a second.
They
need corporate. That's one thing that you do notice when you're on the grounds is that there's no corporate hospitality. Everything is labeled LIV because they don't have in-person local sponsors. They obviously know that's a priority. Even the names of the teams are placeholders, and that's they said that during the press conference during the week in Miami that, you know, that's we know they're stupid names. We're just we had to do something, you know. We can change. And to your point about monetizing it, it's interesting that the players, the team captains, are going to get some kind of a stake in the team. That's the plan for 2023. They'll be part owners of their own franchise, which is really interesting. They're very, very devoted to the team concept. That's kind of a central plank in the platform for LIV is they really, really want to push this whole concept of team versus team, which is unique in golf. It's also an idea. It's a way that they think they can monetize it, which tells us that there is a shelf life to this, right? So the PIF is not going to fund this indefinitely. The fact that they're talking openly about ways to monetize the league tells me that they're not going to just burn money forever. This thing has to start making them money or at least breaking even at some point. And that's going to be a challenge. I mean, especially without a broadcast agreement, without somebody paying them for rights, that's going to be a real challenge to make this thing break even.
Well, Whit, I'm curious too about whether or not they are, if I'm not mistaken, talking about expanding the field. Are they not adding more players so they'll have more teams as well? That it's not going to, that's part of the criticism, if you will, that it's 48 guys and it's not really a full field and they only play 3 days. And that's, are they not going to, I think, expand almost like 20 guys or something and go to in the 60, 65 players per tournament coming up next year?
Yeah, I think that's on the table. That would mean adding more teams or increasing the membership of each team. And there's also been talks of having, and I don't know how this works in golf, about having players on the bench, like having guys that are on the roster but don't play every week so that you can sub them in when a player wants to take a week off. And that's logistically the team concept in golf is really challenging for a wide variety of reasons. But they do have the luxury of funding and time. You know, they've got a couple of years to try to get this into some kind of, you know, reasonable schedule, some kind of a reasonable look where people can understand it and watch it and follow it. I think everything's on the table for them right now.
And is it, what do you think that a big part of the difference when you and Frank are both saying in Miami, a different feel, and they're wanting it to be notably different than a PGA Tour event. Is that, to make it simple, trying to appeal to a younger crowd and say, okay, PGA Tour is got this crowd, and it's quite honestly a lot of 40, 50 and older people that have been following a long time, and they love the tradition and all that stuff. But if it's those grandkids and sons of those people who are in their 20s and 30s that want to see a different product, is it catering to that? Is this something that... Did you notice that the music being played and the concerts going on and everything else, the shorts being worn, sometimes lack of maybe the tradition that you'd see on the PGA Tour. Is that really what that's all about, trying to get the younger crowd involved?
100%. Yes. It skews younger. They're going for a younger demographic. And again, it's Miami, right? So because there are stars out there, people are going to show up. They're going to want to go see Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and Sergio and Phil, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, essentially a lot of the folks that I've watched were sort of watching each other. They were there because somebody else was there and they didn't want to miss out, you know, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what LIV plays to is this is the biggest party of the year that happens to be on a golf course. And if you miss it, you're missing out. It's very clubby. Kind of feels like there's a velvet rope and a bouncer. And if you're not here, you're missing it. And that's the vibe they're going for. And that's the crowd they're trying to attract.
Well, two things to that to speak to what you just said. Let's go back a ways to when it used to be the Conquistador Classic in Tucson, there at the Omni Tucson National Resort, which I would go to every year. And I would set up in the lobby and do Golf Talk America live in the lobby there. They started building a stage at the end of the driving range and having a concert on Saturday night. The tour caught on and said, well, we can do that at the Players' Championship. The old TPC used to have parties every night. So it's not totally new, but they're taking it to a different level. Now,
about Phoenix, Coach?
Oh, yeah. Well, I forgot about that cocktail party there. Yeah, I forgot
that's
about
right.
that one.
Yeah. The joke locally in Phoenix is, oh, yeah, I love going to the Phoenix Open. I go every night.
Yeah, exactly. I called it the Wasted Management Open because it was a party. But
still is. Yeah.
But speaking to the demographic, though, guys, I mean, of course, you were there on Friday, I guess. I was there for the whole week. I saw it. I saw people my age there. I met people my age. I saw a lot of families there over the weekend, especially Saturday, Sunday. It ramped up. So it was a lot of mom and dad were trying to figure out what was going on here. Ran into people, friends of mine from Jackson, Mississippi, a couple of business owners who decided we're going to fly down and see what this is all about. And they said, we are gassed. This is incredible. And they're in their 60s. So yeah. I think it's pinging into every demographic right now. Now, let's back up and let's address the media money. And with you of all people, and Tim, too, you from CBS Sports, know this. They do need that. I mean, that's vitally important. But don't you think that the young demographic is still going to watch it on their iPads? I mean...
Yes, but the numbers they got from YouTube were not very good. They averaged, you know, anywhere from 15,000 to 100,000 people watching it online. So I think that having some kind of a broadcast agreement may not mean a whole lot in terms of viewership. It means more in credibility, that they're proving that they are a legitimate sports enterprise, and that somebody is willing to put them on their air. And that's been a real challenge. You know, Disney won't touch it. NBC and CBS have existing agreements with the PGA Tour. They're not going to touch it. Supposedly Apple and Amazon have already turned it down. So I don't know what's left. The widely reported story was a time buy. They would buy the time on Fox, on FS1. Right. And their COO kind of deflected that in Miami. Norman also they both said that that's not exactly true. I don't know who's left. We're kind of running out of networks, and I'm sure they'd love to have a network that would have like a Paramount or a Peacock. Like, they'd like to be on a network that also has a streaming side, so they can do both, and not have to produce it themselves. And I've also heard that they want to expand that broadcast. They would like to do something akin to a PGA Tour Live, where you can get online and watch specialized broadcasts, whether it's featured holes or featured groups. But again, all of that is a lot easier if you've got some kind of a broadcast partner helping you do it. So I think that and the corporate sponsorship are the two big legs they've got to get over in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I think one other thing, too, is, you know, and you and I both are friends with Foltz and Faraday and the broadcast team. They were, of course, in the booth, in the trailer, whatever. You well know that at the Players' Championship, when they moved the broadcast, Golf Central, whatever, out to number 17 and put it up high where people could be right below it and see it, it even added more excitement to that broadcast. Now, mm-hmm. it added other things, too, at the end of the day after the tournament and people are leaving while you guys were trying to do Golf Central. It was kind of difficult because people are throwing beer cans and hollering at you.
Yeah.
But I think getting those guys out a little more would have been more exciting. I think that was – I was a little disappointed in the way that went down, not in the quality of the broadcasters, but in the experience itself.
Yeah, I was – I mean, I hear you. It is tough to try to do an actual play-by-play broadcast when you're exposed to the elements and exposed to the noise and exposed to the potential of people, you know, offering you beverages while you're live on the air. The live from the post game that Golf Channel does more caters to that kind of environment. And that's why they do it kind of out in the open where they can be seen and heard. And as a sidebar, I had never met Arlo White. I knew his work from Premier League Soccer.
Right.
And I knew him as the voice of the Greyhounds on Ted Lasso. So I was excited to meet him. And he's terrific. I mean, he's got a very commanding presence.
Yes.
Jerry says that when he got there, he's not sure that Arlo knew anything about golf, but that's kind of what they liked about him. And that's a very live thing, right? Is they wanted a guy who just conveyed energy for the moment, not necessarily a golf nerd. And that was one of the reasons why they were attracted to him. And, you know, Jerry was the first announcer they hired. And you know, Frank, you and I know him both very well. And I've talked to him and we've had some pretty frank conversations about why he made the move. And to hear him lay it out, it's his story to tell, but to hear him lay it out, it kind of made sense. He's 59 years old. He'd been at Golf Channel for 20-something years. And it was like, how many more chances am I going to have to go into essentially what is something new, into kind of a startup environment like this?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a robust broadcast. Got a chance to say hello to David Faraday and they got some criticism that I think they earned about being a little too rah-rah. There were a little too many pom-poms being displayed in the first year. But that's part of the sales pitch. You know, this whole thing is trying to sell itself to the world, both the fans and the corporate world. And these guys were in the forefront of trying to sell it and generate some excitement. But that being said, and I wrote about this as well, the broadcast is top-notch. The people they've got in the truck are the best of the best.
Oh, yeah.
They've got 70 cameras on the golf course, which is ridiculous.
Crazy.
I mean, typically, I know, usually it's 8, right? They've got 70. They have every toy known to man, and that's, you know, a credit to them for taking it seriously because the production is first rate.
Yeah, it really is. If people, our listeners, have not watched it, you can go back on their website. LIV,
and watch all of them.
Watch all of them and watch the broadcast in its entirety. I would suggest that you watch Miami because it is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Whit, I'm curious, too. And, again, we're joined by Whit Watson, golf journalist with Golf Channel, PGA Tour, PGA Tour Live, and his own website. Tell us the website, Whit, if people want to follow you there or certainly read your content.
WhitWatson.com, real simple. And I've got a blog with content that I keep updated and some video clips and things like that. And so I just finished writing a piece about this Miami trip that's up right now, WhitWatson.com.
And so the Saudi money has been another factor of negative publicity and speculation from the very beginning of all this stuff. Do you think that, A, is legit? Do people really care as far as following it or not following it? Where the money comes from, because we've all seen the counter to that, which is, okay, well, China's involved in a lot of sports and you don't seem to mind that. Nike does things that we've all heard about and where their factories are and all. We don't seem to care about that, still buy Nike equipment. Will people ultimately care that the Saudi government, if you will, ultimately is writing the checks, at least right now, for all of this? Or is that kind of more of a smokescreen?
Yeah, I like to tell my kids that more than one thing can be true at the same time. So saying that, the NBA has close ties with China does not change the fact that that's problematic and that the Saudis funding this league is problematic. Both things can be true at the same time. It's not like one, you know, counteracts the other.
Yeah.
And yes, it is legit. It's a legit question that many, many people have been harping on. Brandel Chambly has been hammering Liv about this since day one. My friend Eamon Lynch, who writes for USA Today, has been just crushing Greg Norman and Liv about this from day one, about where the money comes from. And that is problematic, and that won't change. And short of a regime change in Saudi Arabia, short of the king and the prince abdicating their positions and handing the government over to somebody else,
yeah,
which won't
happen.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's always going to be an issue. And, you know, are they legitimately really trying to reform? I don't know. I have no idea. I can't, probably not. But that's sort of the message, is that they're trying to enter the first world. You know, they say that on one hand, and then they decapitate criminals on the other hand. So, yes, to answer the question, it is a legitimate beef. Do people care? And this is something that I wrote about as well. On the ground, no. Nobody in Miami seemed to have any care whatsoever about the fact this was where this was coming from. There's no hint of where the money is coming from when you're on the golf course. To be true, because of where we were, there was a lot more attention being paid to Trump. There were a lot more red hats on the golf course than anybody cared about Saudi Arabia. So, but going forward, and this, because of where the money comes from, that's why this little war for the soul of the game moves from the very insular and cliquish and bubble-like golf media world, which is a lot smaller than people think. Because of where the money comes from, it becomes a bigger question. It becomes covered by CNN and Fox as opposed to just Golf Channel. If this money came from Italy, nobody would care. It would be like, this is a rival golf league, and you know, that's tough for the PGA Tour, but ho-hum. It's because of the funding that it's become such a huge story.
Yeah.
You mentioned Trump, and I have to say I was on number 10 tee box with him during the Pro-Am, and Eric. And President Trump he striped a drive. I mean, that funky swing of his, but he can still hit the ball. And
I've heard he can play.
He can play. So he stripes his drive, and he turns to the crowd and says, "You think Joe Biden can do that? He couldn't get off the damn tee box." Everybody cheered and went crazy. And then the next tee, on number 10, where the amateurs play from, right, Eric walks up. He turns to me, and he goes, "Watch this." Eric Trump, his son. And Eric tops the ball left into the water off of number 10. And he just turns to me and he looks and points, says, "Don't say a word." And he asks his kid, "Give me another ball. Give me." He was like 10 cup, another ball right here. It was hilarious. They were having fun. Everybody was having fun. And Trump is a man of the people. So you're right. Everybody loved seeing him and meeting him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And because he has been vocal in his support of Liv, he harbors a grudge against the PGA Tour because they took the event away from Doral in 2016. And he's done business with the Saudis, as is well documented. So he's kind of got a little bit of a soft spot for Liv, and he made some comments publicly about it. And that itself further politicizes Liv, because whether you love Trump or hate him, you realize he's polarizing. If you're a reasonable adult, you realize he's polarizing.
Right.
And that does make it a little more complicated. And as a matter of fact, I was told that they kind of politely asked him to not be on the property on Sunday for the final round because they wanted the focus to be on the golf and not on him.
Right.
And whenever he shows up, the focus goes to him. Right. So you'll notice that he was not present during any of the trophy ceremonies.
How did they get him to agree to that?
Lord knows.
Talk about a negotiation.
There was a traffic jam in Miami, which is not unheard of, you know, if you try to get around.
Wow. Yeah, and that's just, you know, they played two of their eight events were at his properties. And
right.
They're talking about going to the, you know, to Scotland, to Turnberry, which is his property as well. So That unfortunately, that just throws gasoline on the fire, and that doesn't really help.
But, and it throws gasoline on the fire of Turnberry, which is in the rotation for the Open Championship.
Yes.
They've already said they're holding back on utilizing Turnberry, and that's more gasoline on that fire too. So there are a lot of moving parts to this, but not to take away from any of it, because I really enjoyed every second of it. I had a blast.
I did too, and I want to stress that I don't have a dog in this fight. I went into it just as a curious onlooker, a member of the media. I want to know what the product looks like. I've got friends that work there. I sort of didn't want to be biased in any direction, and the bottom line is it's fun. If you go in there knowing what you're getting and not sort of expecting the traditional PGA Tour event, it's a fun day. It's a reasonably short afternoon, and if you like that kind of thing, the product is pretty good. For a startup, it was very well produced.
Yeah. Now, let's back up real quick and briefly touch on the shotgun start. Because if you noticed, which, well, you weren't there Saturday or Sunday, but everyone has their players that they want to see. So, and they say, well, but if I, you know, I could see them all TFM one. Well, it doesn't matter. It goes without saying that you can go out there. If Dustin Johnson's teeing off on number 7 in his group, go watch him tee off on number 7. And then you'll see all the other groups come through too. And you can move around to see different holes. So you don't have to be there. Get up at 5 o'clock like we do for the Players' Championship and get out to TPC Sawgrass at 7 a.m. and then, you know, spend until 6 o'clock that whole day. And I think that makes a huge difference for a lot of people. And it plays to the younger and the older demographic, I think.
Yeah, anybody who's ever attended a tournament knows there's two schools of thought, right? Either you go follow a group or you stay on a hole. You just pitch a tent and stay on a hole.
Right.
And with LIV, you can do both in pretty short order because everybody's playing everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait. It's the same decision, I guess, but you've got a much shorter time window in which to make it because, you know, the whole day, they start at 12:15 and they're done at like 5.
Yeah,
it's a short day for golf. It's really kind of weird to be out there at 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. I think I got there at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday and the players weren't even out there yet.
No.
Because they don't see it up till 12:15. Interesting also, and Frank, you tell me what you thought about this, they don't allow media on the driving range.
No.
And that's the first time I've ever seen a professional event where the media wasn't allowed on the range. And as you know, that's where we do most of our work. That's where you kind of, you know, watch what guys are working on and overhear what they're talking about, and maybe get a little word from a caddy. That was kind of curious. For all the access they promise and deliver on, the fact that members of the media were not allowed on the range was kind of curious.
I think that's being looked at. I think that will probably change, and it'll be limited access for media on the range. So that was just, I think, for protection, because I'm sure the players said, you know, we don't want the media, some of the media, and what we and Tim, we all know who the naysayers are out there in the media and some of the people who write negative articles a lot. They don't want them out there. I mean, they don't want them. It's a distraction, and the players didn't want it because the players are getting hammered left and right. Why did you leave the PGA Tour? You're an infidel. You know, now, you know, come on. You know, these guys, they say, well, you have all the money in the world. You don't have to worry about more money for your family and this and that. There's so many naysayers, and I get tired of hearing that personally. I just let's talk about some positive things, guys, out there. And that's what we've always done. Tim and I, in this show, Golf Talk America, when we all started off with the PGA Tour, on the front page of PGAtour.com with Tim doing the game, I opened the day with Golf Talk America. Doug Bell did his show, and then Tim came on and did the game. And all of us were known in that group for being, and I'm doing air quotes here, the good guys. We asked the nice questions. We did not come out and hit them with negativity. We weren't trying to editorialize the negative aspects of what they were doing. We were trying to promote the goodness in what the players were doing, the tour was doing, and the good that we were all doing together for the individual charities in the individual cities that we were in doing the tournaments. And I think LIV is trying that too now. I mean, they're pumping money into women's breast cancer research and all sorts of things now. So I don't know. It's just I think being positive is a whole lot nicer than being negative, you know.
Sure, but there is. I mean, the players that left have to know they're going to be asked tough questions at some point. And I think there's a balance that has to be achieved. You know, I did read about how Politico.com, which is a left leaning news site, analysis site, was denied a credential. So. I mean, let's put this in context. WhitWatson.com got a media credential and Politico did not. You know, at some point you got to figure out a way to, and the reason for that is because, you know, they didn't want them asking tough questions of Donald Trump or Eric Trump or any of the players.
Right.
And they knew going in that's what Politico's angle was going to be. Of course it was.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to fix that. I'm really glad I'm not in the media relations business because you kind of have to figure out a balance between letting, you know, and I guess the excuse was, well, Politico's not a sports entity. Well, come on. I mean, you've got to figure out some kind of a solution that's relatively transparent and sort of equip the players, prepare the players. Yeah, hey, you might be asked a couple of tough questions today. Right. You know, you can't shield them forever any more than the PGA Tour shields its players forever.
Right. Which has always been, which is a criticism, and it's ongoing for anybody that's been in sports with like you or me for years and years and years. It more and more becomes restrictive, right? You used to be able to hang with the guys, go have lunch with them, go all kinds of things with all different athletes. And now it's, you got to make 16 phone calls and get through six agents. And it just becomes so restricted.
And managers and handlers.
Yeah, you just kind of like it to be where, okay, I can ask some questions and it might be tough questions, but that's okay. I get it. They may not want that on the range because I'm like, I'm focusing on my game. I want to go. I'm not going to get into what the Saudis did last week or didn't do last week. I could get that that would be a distraction. Maybe it'll go away or fade away as time moves on if this continues to go for years. But I agree that you have to have access, and you don't want to look like you're in any way shutting people down because we don't like the way your magazine, your website, whatever, your TV network slants the way they do things. Come on, if you want to come and do it, then do it. I always think that that's the best way, just directly deal with it. Now you can, okay, that's enough questions. Let's move on and do something else. But to not let them ask the questions makes it seem like, okay, well, now you're really almost owning the fact that it's, you got some bad stuff and you don't want to.
Exactly. You're acknowledging, right. You're acknowledging that it's problematic when you deny media access to certain outlets. And, you know, lines are crossed so quickly and so easily. The media, I think we are a little bit guilty of jumping over lines that maybe shouldn't be jumped. I was in the press conference when Patrick Reed won the Masters and was asked, how do you feel about the fact that your parents aren't here? I thought that question was completely out of bounds.
Absolutely.
I thought that was none of your damn business about my relationship with my parents. Yeah. And he deflected the question as he should. Yeah. That's an unfair question, in my opinion. But, you know, a question about the source of the funding, the question about, congratulations, DJ, you've just won $35 million. Are you bothered at all about where it comes from? That's not unfair. I'm sorry, that's not an unfair question. And, you know, they've got to figure out.
I would like someone to ask me that question. What about that $35 million you made last year, Tim? What about that? I'm like,
Tim. We're in the media, MEDIA,
right?
Not ATHL, however you spell that.
Tony Romo does.
I went to Ole Miss. Well, I heard one comment from, and I won't say the name of the player, but I asked a question. We were just talking. And he said, next time somebody asks me a question like that, I'm just going to ask them, do they know where their gasoline comes from?
Yeah.
You know, and that was a pretty, you know, I'm not going to say who the player was. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah. But, you know, we all have history. America has a history. Saudi Arabia has a history. China has a history. The United Kingdom has a history.
Sure.
There was a thing called the Spanish Inquisition at one time. Mm-hmm. That's a history. Yeah. So we all have things to deal with.
But let's be honest, Frank. You know, Biden just met with the Prince of Saudi Arabia, 3 months ago?
He did. He fist pumped him. Yeah, I saw that.
There's an ongoing relationship for years and years and decades Saudi Arabia. So to say,
well, that they're an ally, that's been pointed out by more than one player. Yeah, we're talking about an ally. But again, I'll go back to, more than one thing can be true at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure, we do depend on them for oil. And yes, their human rights history is atrocious. Both of those things are true.
Right.
You know, one doesn't counteract the other.
And part of the reason they're an ally, too, is they protect Israel. Believe it or not, our bases there are there for a big reason. And I'm not going to get into politics here, guys. But
you kind of are, though. Yeah.
But we have some of those monster jets and some weapons to protect the Middle East from a lot of the craziness that goes on in the world.
And that's to Norman's point when he deflects that and says, okay, here's the reasons. And he says just what we said. He also says, what do you have, the number, 23 PGA Tour sponsors have connections and do $40 billion in business with Saudi Arabia. Are you now PGA Tour going to walk away from those sponsorships because they're associated with the Saudi Arabians? So there's some hypocrisy, certainly, in all this that's being said. But maybe for another time we can get into that. Whit, we appreciate your time. We know we kind of took you here longer than we probably promised that we would have you on. But it's been fascinating. We hope that you can come back and join us another time real soon. Once again, tell us the website that people can check out your work on.
Yeah, thanks. WhitWatson.com. And I do keep a blog that's updated. And it's also got some video and audio clips and a little bio. It's just something I put together really because I was looking for an outlet to write as I moved from a staff position to a freelance position. And I really love it. And I only write about things I care about. So I hope that people will enjoy it. And including in that is included a piece on our experience in Miami last week.
I hope you didn't write anything about what you saw me doing, but that's
negative.
Okay.
No, sir. You
thank
were
you,
fine.
Sir.
Please include that. Please include that in there. Please.
I also left out your stories about what you'd done the night before. So
no, thank
welcome.
You. Thank you. We need to edit this show quickly. Whit, love your work, and it was great seeing you in Miami. And let's get together soon. If we don't see each other in the next 30, 60 days, have a wonderful holiday season.
Cheers. You as well. Thanks, guys.
All right, Whit. Take care.
All right.
There he is, Whit Watson, again, sports golf journalist. You'll hear him. PGA Tour does some live there, does freelance, as he says, for Golf Channel. So, yeah, a lot of good insight into a guy who's been around golf for a long, long time. And, you know, just interesting to hear. I don't think, you know, in today's world, Frank, we don't all have to agree. And that's fine.
No.
Sometimes we're being told that you have to agree. Otherwise, right, you're out. You're done. We're finished. Okay with that. If he likes this, doesn't like that, vice versa with you and me, that's okay. I mean, that's what this show is about. Right?
Yeah.
I want to get people's opinions and things out there. Yeah. Although I think, for the most part, sounds like you two agree with most of at least what you saw with the Live Tour event in Miami. Maybe there's a restriction to that in that, okay, Miami's a unique market. You had Trump there. Maybe there are other reasons that if you have the same event, but you put it in Detroit instead of Miami, it may not work as maybe. But that's the same with the PGA Tour, right, Frank? There's some events you go to that are Phoenix, and there are other events you go to, no offense, are Jackson, Mississippi. And they're different.
Easy.
Right? They're not the same
level. Big boy.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, the Jackson, Mississippi event, let me tell you something. Mississippi knows how to party. And it's a big
one.
Party down there, but you're right. I mean,
John Deere.
It has a different flavor. It's called the Big Dig.
It's not Phoenix.
No, it's not Phoenix.
It's not
Phoenix. Well, I'll leave
that's
Phoenix out because right. It is the wasted management.
Yeah, so Miami might be unique in that sense, but everybody has different, you know, no different.
Well,
than
Miami.
Any.
It's
NFL
a.
Games are better in some places than others.
Miami
so, yeah,
is a sea, as Whit said, a CNBC scene. CNBC scene yeah. place. I mean, you have more. Beautiful people, air quotes, if you will, in Miami and South Beach, and you know everybody knows South Florida.
And they're dressed comfortably. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Right. That's good. We'll leave it at that.
You don't need a lot of clothing. Yeah, it's
yeah,
hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Okay. Hot down there. Oh, God,
it's anyway. Really hot down there.
Oh my God, it was hot, so to speak.
Frank,
hey, listen, Doral.
Frank was topless the whole time.
Well, no. Anyway. Trump Doral, hello. Trump Doral is a beautiful venue. It really is. And the Blue Monster, the course was in incredible condition. I went out, walked inside the ropes with some of the teams, had a good time. Got into a cornhole tournament up on the roof after the final round on Sunday with some of the players. That was fun. And the access, like Whit said, he said, oh, my God, it's like they welcome you here. Well, they welcome certain media there. I saw a couple of media people slide in. They had to give credentials to that are big time writers that are known for their criticism of certain individuals. And I'm anxious to see what's going to be published this week from them.
And I'll say this too, from a media standpoint, that's a constant and always has been, always will be, in that some media people are doom and gloom guys. That's who they are. They're going to write about whatever, and everything is going to have a negative slant.
Right.
It's who and that's broadcasters, media, whatever it might be. That's who they are. There's others that are more fluff in it. So I don't think Live Tour or PGA Tour or anything else are going to be inundated with just that. They're going to have a mix. And to the point you and what we're talking about, I think you need to say okay to credentials for whomever that you want to put. I get you can't get everybody in, but you don't want to also – draw it down political lines and say, okay, these guys are mean and these people are nice. We just want the nice guys because that's what it'll be. That story by the mean guys will then turn that story into all that you're not letting me come because I'm going to write back.
Oh, of course it will.
It won't go.
Yeah.
It won't go away.
Yeah.
So let them
you're
come
right.
and ask their questions is all I'm
yeah.
saying, right? Let's ask their questions and you may not like it. Move on to the next guy after he's asked his two or three questions. You know?
I can understand the political thing. I mean, I really can. A political, what were they going to be there for? They're not writing about the sport.
Yeah, I know. I mean, to some degree, I guess that's true, but it's no different. Well, maybe it is, but it's similar to what political parties in office in the White House. Do you not then let CNBC in, but you know, MSNBC comes, ABC comes, it can, who do you decide? Because they're all going to have their slant. They're all going to say, I love you, I hate you. Don't. And you kind of, again, have to, I think, any public figure, golf or politicians, you have to face the music and you have to say, okay. And if the questions are inappropriate, as you guys talked about with Patrick Reed, then just address that and say, no, that's not none of your business. And go to the next question, right? And that happens. So you can ask a bad question. You can ask a dumb, invasive question, and nobody has to answer it. That's what I'm saying is have them there if you want. You can let anybody come in media-wise. If you don't want to answer their questions because they're totally slanted in a certain, just don't answer them.
There was a question. Right? There was a question to the captains. Had a captain's press conference, and there was a question posed to Brooks Koepka, and he just looked at the guy and said, "I'm not going to answer that. Next question."
Yeah.
And that he has the right to do that, and yeah. I'm sure he will be excoriated for that, but. He had the right. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And to me, again, a guy who's been around the media for a long, long time is the best way to handle it. The don't even let him in the door. The media will always get a last word in. They've got a microphone. They've got a computer. They've got a vehicle to keep. So if you just don't invite them, doesn't mean it goes away. They just find a way to still write their same story, only it's going to be totally their story because there won't be any side from you. Yeah. There'll be no quotes.
I think it was
nothing,
more.
So
I think it was more about Trump. That whole situation was more about Trump.
Maybe. Yeah.
Probably. So,
and that's a unique thing too, right? I mean, it's like Trump's not, I don't think, going to be a part of every live event.
Probably three.
So it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see going forward. Yeah. How much. Yeah. You have to deal with Trump because that is a whole other monster.
What
right?
would it be like if Golf Talk America were sponsored by the Trump Organization, Trump Resorts?
I don't know.
What would that do to us?
I don't know. It would
outside of
it would
make us a lot of money.
Some.
It would anger some people. Yeah.
Yeah. It would make others happy. I mean, that's the world we're in, right? There's all kinds of
It's everybody has to take sides. You know, there is no Where's moderation?
Unfortunately. Yeah, unfortunately. I'm like, let's just all kind of sit in the middle and listen to what people have to say. I don't have any problem.
Let's start
with that.
Playing Carpenter's music on the show. Okay.
Hey, before we go, Frankie Frank.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make note of a couple of things. You know, I told you that I played at the PGA of America. I almost said PGA Tour. The PGA of America's new headquarters, right? That was a
you
couple
did.
Of weeks ago. And they just announced that they have some new things that are going on, and I wanted to recognize our good friend Randy Smith, who is Scottie Scheffler's coach and had been the head pro at Royal Oaks for a long time. He still is emeritus director of golf at Royal Oaks. They announced and showed the rendering for the Randy Smith Who's Next Pavilion, which is part of the PGA Frisco campus, because part of that also is the North Texas PGA campus. So they're all kind of combined right there, and they're putting a whole pavilion in there with Randy's name on it for teaching.
Okay, for our listeners, it's the North Texas PGA Tour, PGA section, PGA of America section, right? The North Texas section.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Their headquarters is also right there where PGA of America is. They've got their own facility in the same, you know, 100 acres or 200 acres, whatever that whole complex is.
That's pretty.
So anyway, congratulations.
It's called a spread in Texas, right?
Yeah, it's called a little backyard.
Sorry. Yeah, Randy and, Smith,
so
great
Randy
guy.
Randy got that. Cool guy. And he's also being inducted into the golf teaching Hall of Fame.
As he should
which
be.
Which is kind of cool.
As he should be.
With Jim McClain and all those guys and Butch Harmon and those kind of guys. So anyway, good going for Randy. He's a cool guy. They also announced the dates for next year in the Metroplex here, Frank, Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Five events.
They start with there's a Korn Ferry Tour event. There's the Champions event, which is invited, right? Used to be.
Yes. Our friends at Invited.
Club Corp and changed it to Invited. The Invited Celebrity Classic will be at Los Colinas Country Club. That'll be in April. Byron Nelson at Craig Ranch. And then the Schwab Cup, the Colonial. The women will be playing. I mean, there's one of everything. It's amazing how much golf is being played here in addition to PGA of America headquarters moving here.
You boys are trying to compete with Florida.
Yeah.
There's a lot of a lot of stuff going on.
I think
there are
five. I think I counted five events that are going to be in Texas in the Dallas Fort Worth area.
Yeah, yeah. The women's, the Corn Ferry champions, and two PGA events. That's five. Yeah, five events. A little bit of everything. Yep.
And then you go to Houston, and what do you have? And then you go to San Antonio, and what do you have? Then you go to Austin, and what do you have? How many tournaments do you guys have in the state of Texas?
God, that's a good point. Like, it's too many.
No, it's not too many. No, it's good. It's good.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying.
Well, I want to be clear about one thing.
It's a big state. It's a big state.
I really like what I saw at LIV. I like it a lot. This is not that I don't like the PGA Tour. I mean, they've been very good to us, and we've been part of the PGA Tour forever.
Again, two things can be true.
Two things can be true, and I'm not against the LIV Tour. I know there is there's a either you're with us or you're against us attitude going on out there, and I hate that. But I'm certainly not going to live my life doing things I don't want to do. I'm just not. So there you go. Thanks to all the people at LIV Golf for their hospitality last week, and all the people at Trump Doral for their hospitality also. It was.
I look forward to going to an event.
Oh my God, it's fun.
When they kick off in February, right? They'll be back in action.
In February. Nothing's laid out yet. Yeah. They're working on it. So.
Yeah.
Witt said, it's kind of like they're drawing the plays in the dirt. God forbid we have to play on AstroTurf. We're really screwed.
But that's what's kind of neat about them is they have the luxury, if you will, where the PGA Tour is, 100 years old. So here's what we're doing. We're going to keep in. They're doing it, right? Liv's going, let's just throw stuff on the wall and let's just see what's going to work. And this might work. Now we're going to throw that out. And so that's fun and cool, too. They do have big-name golfers. As you said, the competition was very good. That was an early criticism.
It was great.
It's going to be a bunch of hack. Nobody knows. There's some very, very good golfers, major champions that are there, maybe more to come. That's where I think the merger talk has to – because, again, if you're going to be a Masters, a U.S. Open, they're going to already – they've said we have no restrictions on that. If you qualify, Patrick Reed has won a Masters. He gets to keep coming back to the Masters, as is Dustin Johnson and several of the other guys.
Phil –
okay, well then, what's going to happen there? Is it going to be, the Jets and the what was West Side Story? I can't remember the two gangs.
Oh yeah, the two gangs.
Is that what it's going to be? Like, this side's the PGA Tour, and over here on the driving range is the LIV Tour guys, and they're going to play together. They're going to have to. That part bothers me, and I throw that on Rory, Tiger, some of the other guys have been vehemently against this. In saying, let people make their own choice. And if it for them makes sense to be on the LIV Tour, you don't have to hate them. You don't have to say. Now, if the LIV Tour guys are saying, but we should still be able to play in the PGA, I get that might be a problem. And if you can't work that out, but maybe they could play on both. And Rory could play a few LIV events, and these other guys can play a few PGA Tour events. Can't they coexist? Isn't there a way they can do that other than just the majors? Because it'll be awkward at the majors when you're going to see these guys there, and it'll come up in – April at the Masters?
Yeah,
the
last time I checked, it every year. Yeah.
You're going to see 5, 6, 8, 10 of those guys playing in the field at the Masters.
And the Open Championship said, they're not going to do that. So now you have the PGA Championship. But again, the official World Golf Rankings.
Yeah.
These guys are dropping down the ranks every week that goes by.
Right.
Because they're earning no points. And it doesn't mean they're not the best golfers in the world.
Right,
our listeners are smart enough to know that. I'm speaking,
and that's been a roadblock that the PGA Tour certainly knowingly is setting up to say, we'll catch you at the pass, right? We're going to make sure you guys can't get through here because we're going to not allow you to have world golf ranking points. Therefore, unless you're a previous winner or a recent winner, Koepka and those guys that get exemptions, you can't get enough points to ever play in one of our majors. The word bullying gets thrown out there too much, but that to me I don't like either because you're saying, okay, so now you don't get to play in our game. Well, it is a world game, and there's guys from Asia that are making huge impacts. We're going to see much, much more of that. And from Europe, it isn't just the PGA of America that gets to say, or the tour that gets to say, here's what you get and you don't. The RNA has a say in all this stuff. The Masters has a say
who
gets world ranking points. Let the best golfers play in the best events. Well, that seems like a good thing, doesn't it? And I think we're going to get fractionalized. I know they say it's the money. You're only going because you got $100 million. I'm going,
Charles Barkley say? He has the best quote ever. He goes, I'd kill a family member for $100 million. Yeah. He goes, yes, I'd take the money. Why would you not take the money? I think that's the way a lot of people think.
Well,
unless you're Rory Rich or Tiger Rich, you might go, $100 million might change my life a little.
You think? Just a touch?
Yeah.
How about, did anybody win the Powerball?
Good question.
$1.2 billion. Don't know. Let's see. Maybe I won. I bought a ticket. I haven't looked.
Did you buy one?
Yeah, I did. Of course I did.
I want to be that guy. I want to buy one ticket and win it.
Yeah, first time player, you know, win the thing. Anyway, I know that for those of you out there listening to this show, you're probably ready for us to get the hell out of here. So
yeah, I'm ready for some music to be played.
That being said, I think we're going to play some music.
Hey, Invited, as I mentioned, formerly Club Corp. Check out Invited, invited.com. You can still go to clubcorp.com, find out about the great country clubs and facilities all around the country. Kick the tires a little bit, check one out in your area, and you get privileges all over the country at Invited, a wonderful company. PXG, Frank plays with them, loves them, never played better than he does with PXG. So you can check those out at your local store or pro shop for PXG. And thank you again to all the great people at Bahamas and Atlantis. I had a great time there, and I can't wait to go back again to Atlantis in the beautiful Bahamas White Sands golf event. Had a lot of fun there. We are done. Thank you so much to Whit Watson for joining us and for Frank Bassett. I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you, and please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.